You're listening to Better Than Fiction with your hosts, D.L. Nelson and Scott Sackett.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Better Than Fiction, your pop culture podcast. As always, I'm your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Yes, Scott. It's episode 517.
Woo!
That's right, 517 episodes and still cooking. So last week I talked about my trip. You had a trip also. Give us a lowdown on what you did.
Okay, first, a couple things I want to tell you.
Sure.
I have not told you this yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think you know this. Mm. One, I drew a story, a Christmas story. Did I tell you about my Christmas story being published?
In
the Festivus thing, Antarctic Press Festivus?
I think you said something about that to me.
Okay, maybe I mentioned it on a podcast.
They're anyway. They're out of Dallas,
right? Out of Dallas, yeah. Also, we have nothing's announced yet, but we have a publisher for The Black Cricket, which I've been working on with Dan Johnson for a while.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So, my wife and I, while you were, I think our trips actually overlapped a little bit.
I think I got back when you left or something.
Something like that, because while you were gone, I borrowed your trash can to put my leaves in.
Oh, that's right.
Because you were gone that day. But anyway, and then, but it was like, if I didn't, because that day was a holiday, and I was like, oh, crap. If I don't, I was going to take my leaves out. Luckily, I picked up the trash, because I wasn't going to be in town the next trash day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you would have been or not. But anyway, okay, beyond our trash issues. So my wife and I went to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Have you been to Santa Fe, Dave?
I have.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't
find it too enjoyable.
I went there once before. My wife and I, several years ago, went to an engineering event. My wife is an electrical engineer, and she's on the Illuminating Engineering Society, which is a group of engineers and people. It's people who deal with lighting, basically. They're engineers, they're salesmen, they're, you know. And so Michelle's on, like, the regional board for that. And they meet quarterly in a different section of the country. And sometimes I go with her, sometimes I don't. Kind of depends on where they're going and what's going on at work and that sort of thing. And so we went to one a few years ago that was just outside of Albuquerque. And we had a rental car then, and so I drove into Santa Fe one day and went to Big Adventure Comics and a couple other places.
See, I told you I didn't have a very good experience because we got there late.
Yeah.
This is the last day of a long trip.
Yeah.
So we stayed there, and my thought was I'm going to hit some comic shops, I'm going to get some dinner, go to bed, next morning leave. We got there so late, nothing was open.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next morning we had lunch or whatever and got out. So I didn't get to have a good, you know.
Okay. So so Michelle and I rented a car. We drove up there. On the way there, we drove out I-40 through Amarillo. We stopped at the Big Texan.
Let's do it.
Did not do the 72-ounce steak. Holy cow, it's a big steak.
It's like a roast.
If you're ever driving down I-40 in the, I guess that's the panhandle of Texas,
mm-hmm.
You should stop at the Big Texan at least once. It's an old school kind of steakhouse, which is, I mean, you've been there, haven't you?
Twice.
Okay. Every time we go through there, I always make Michelle stop. My wife grew up in Amarillo. She never went there until we were married.
You ate there, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Every time we go, we eat.
Because there's no things you don't have to eat there. They got a gift shop.
Oh, they got a gift shop. I bought some stuff at the gift shop.
Oh, yeah.
They got one of those old school, like, put a quarter in and shoot it. It's like a saloon. You can shoot at the bear.
And they got these weird, like, mirror things on the wall that change.
Yeah, and stuff. It's a...
A little bit of a carnival.
It's kind of a little carnival. It in some ways, when we went there, I thought it was a little, not really depressing, but it was just kind of, like, worn, I guess is probably better. Of course, we were there.
Yeah.
Like on a, let's see, what day do we leave? I think it was a Wednesday. No, it was a Tuesday.
It's not as bad as like Casa Bonita on their last days, was it?
No, it's not. I mean, it's not like it's empty, but it was slow. And I was talking to the waitress, and she said February is our slowest month of the year. She said for whatever reason, every year, like this particular time is our slowest month.
Yeah.
But we went there. Oh, our rental car was a Volkswagen Jetta. Mm-hmm. You were talking last episode about how your rental car had the shut-off thing, or had the exact same thing.
Annoying.
You could turn it off, and I did it one time, but I couldn't figure out how to do it continuously. Mm-hmm. But I thought once I turned off, it'd stay off, but it kept... And next time I tried to do it, I couldn't get it to do it. It was kind of weird how you did it. It wasn't just... Like, I've driven some cars... This
car, a button on the dash, you hit the button and it would quit doing
it. Yeah, so I've driven cars where it's very obvious. This one, you had to go into the menu and do this other crap. Oh,
please.
Anyway, but we drove the Volkswagen, and that'll come to play in the story later. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we went to Amarillo, then we drove into Santa Fe. We kind of cut over it. I think it was... You drive out in the middle of nowhere and you turn at three corners. I think it's called three corners or two corners or something. And you turn and you go. Got into Santa Fe. It was like 6 or 7. We went. We found the hotel. You're talking about navigation system. Man, that you can't beat, I mean... the maps are good, but man, sometimes the navigation system, the thing about it is if you get off track, it'll get you right back on track.
Mm-hmm.
So the event didn't start until Thursday or Friday. So the first two nights we stayed at a Holiday Inn in Santa Fe, not downtown. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we went out to eat that night. We went right by our hotel. Michelle needed some stuff. I forget what, like toothpaste or something. There was something she had forgot. And so we went to, there was a Walmart. So we went to Walmart. I mean, the great thing is if you're traveling, you have a car, you see a Walmart, you can get anything you need just about. I went in, I bought me some New Mexico shirts there because they were $6 there and like $30 in Santa, at the tourist places.
Land of Enchantment.
So I got me a shirt, New Mexico, Land of Enchantment.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, we did a little, I'm going to talk about this later, but I'll tell you where we went. So that one of the things we wanted to do, one of the reasons we went early is because we wanted to go to Meow Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know about Meow Wolf?
You told me.
Okay, we went to Meow Wolf.
Cohen's not really the owner of that though, right?
Let me talk about Meow Wolf separately. I brought a brochure of Meow Wolf that I picked up in our hotel.
I don't think I wanted Grapevine?
There's one in Grapevine. Yeah, there's four of them. I didn't realize there were four of them across the country.
Grapevine's just not too far from here.
Yep. Anyway, so I didn't know. I heard parking was an issue at Meow Wolf. So when we got there, and our hotel was not far from it, I wanted to see how far we were, because if we were real close, we were going to walk. We were not that close. We drove, but parking wasn't an issue. But we did go over there at night, and the parking lot, I'll talk about the parking lot when I talk about Meow Wolf, but it was closed, and there were people hanging out in the parking lot. There was security driving around running people off. It was crazy. Anyway, went to the hotel, nothing spectacular about the hotel.
This says arrived curious, leave changed. We leave. Did you leave changed?
Well, let me talk about Meow Wolf separately. It's its own thing. We took a tour by foot of Santa Fe. We drove to downtown Santa Fe. When you were in Santa Fe, did you go to the downtown area? Kind of the old.
We had dinner at one of those places along there.
Okay. We went down there and we did a walking tour. I did not realize Santa Fe is one of the oldest cities in the country. Apparently there have been Indians living there since the 1900s or something like that. And Spanish settlers went up there in 1606 or something like that. Yeah. They were looking for gold. They found gold in Mexico. So I thought, well, there's gold down here. It's gotta be gold up north. And so they just went north. And there's this whole history of conflict and between the settlers and the Indians there. They ran them off and then they came back. But The tour downtown was really cool. I enjoyed, unlike you, I thought Santa Fe was really cool.
Yeah, I was only there briefly. I had to go, you know.
Yeah, you were there for, yeah, just briefly. So we were there, we stayed, like that first day we went on the tour, then the next day we went to Meow Wolf. Now,
apparently all four of these are a little bit different.
They are completely different. So, I'm not going to talk about Meow Wolf just yet. I'm going to talk about the rest of the trip, and then I'll circle back to Meow Wolf. Because Meow Wolf is really the big thing of the trip, or in terms of talking about it on the podcast. So at a certain point, we moved downtown to where the conference was, or the meetings were, and we were sent in a place called, so we're on this tour, this walking tour, we're with all these people that, you know, some of them live there, some of them don't, you know, this guy's talking about the history, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, and this is La Fonda on the Plaza, and he's like, yeah, it's the nicest hotel in Santa Fe, which Santa Fe isn't real big. And he says the oldest, there's been a hotel on this property since the early 1600s. And this particular building, it's been a hotel pretty much since the founding of Santa Fe, or an inn or something. And this building was built in 1922. And he went on and on about how it's got all this art in it, it's got this, got that. He said, oh, if you ever get a chance, you should stay there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're staying there the rest of the week. You know? Yeah,
okay, no problem. We're there.
So we went there. When we moved there, which was good, because on the trip, I wanted to be like, okay, I got, you know, you're always like, well, where do I park? Well, they had on-site parking, and we paid. It was kind of expensive per day, but whatever.
Ours were $50 a day.
Ours wasn't that much. I think ours was 30.
Mm-hmm.
But Santa Fe, let me say this about Santa Fe. I really enjoyed going to Santa Fe. There's not a ton of stuff to do. There's a lot of art galleries, which I didn't really, and a lot of is Indian art. That's what they're known for, right. Which isn't my thing, or Santa Fe art or whatever. Not really my thing, but there's still some cool stuff there. Will I go there again in 6 months? No. There are other places I'd rather go in 6 months. But I would definitely go there again. Driving around. First off, every restaurant Michelle and I went to, almost every restaurant, we were the youngest people in the restaurant. A lot of older people lived there. The getting around was
sorry to cut you off, but in the wintertime, the weather there's got to suck.
Well, so we were there in February.
It can have snow.
I mean, people in our hotel were walking out with skis.
Yeah, that's what
they were going to go in the mountains, go skiing.
Right. You would not want to live there in the wintertime.
No. But when we were there, we lucked out. The week before, they'd gotten a lot of snow and it had been bad. When we went, it was like in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not bad. Most days, I wore a button-down kind of shirt,
mm-hmm.
and no jacket,
yeah.
Or maybe a light jacket. I took my coat. It was in the trunk of the rental car. It never left the trunk of the rental car.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to the downtown, and we moved to this La Fonda. And this hotel, it was probably the nicest hotel I've ever stayed in. Which,
really?
Well, it was over $400 a night. So that was probably the most I've ever paid for a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
We had a suite, which was, you know, I've never stayed in a hotel room with two bathrooms.
Oh, wow, yeah.
you went in, and there was like a full-blown living room with a, I don't think it was quite as big as, it was a big TV, not as big as yours, but it was a big TV in the living room. They had a Nespresso coffee maker in there,
mm-hmm.
which I'd seen commercials for them. I've never seen one.
Oh, there.
You got one?
Nespresso, yeah.
And with the things? Dude, it was pretty big time. I don't care for the Keurigs that much.
Yeah.
But I like the Nespresso.
Nespresso.
However you say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we go in there, and they got that. There's like all kinds of stuff in the room there, and not like, hey, it's a cash deal, but it's just like, here, welcome to the hotel.
Mm.
The robes, You know.
Yeah.
Like I said,
did you put that on a strut down to the front?
No.
With your flip flops and a robe only?
I never wore the robe. Michelle wore the robe. I don't know if the robe. I don't know if we were supposed to leave with the robe. We did not leave with the robe.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we were supposed to. The bathroom, the master bathroom had like a huge it had a double-headed shower, but it wasn't like here and here. It was like one on this side and one on this side. It was a huge shower.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've never stayed in the hotel that nice. Now, when we were at the other hotel, they never came and made up our room. Well, I think one day they did. No. They came and made up the room. At this place, like when we were there, we left. We come back in the room like at noon or whatever, and they'd made it up. And then we left, and so I think I made like a coffee or whatever. We went out to eat, and we came back, and they had like made up. They made the room twice a day. It was crazy.
We stayed at Caesars one time, and in the Forum Tower, which is like a nice tower at Caesars, and it had a really swanky bathroom, and it had like the regular shower, then it had the rain shower thing.
Yeah,
it was kind of cool.
Yeah, on this, one side had a rain shower with its own controls. The other side had, like, a regular shower with its own controls, you know. The hotel, and they told me, oh, you need to take the art tour. And so I took the art tour. Well, so, like, the first night we were there, up on the roof, they had, like, a mixer for the engineering group. And so we got to go up there, and it was a balcony. You could see downtown. And across the street, there was a church. It was beautiful. I took a bunch of pictures there. So the next day, I'm taking this art tour, and the lady's like, oh, I got good news. There was an event up here last night, so we can go onto this upper thing. And so she's like, goes up there, and she's like, oh, yeah, I've only been up here a couple times. And they're like, oh, wow. And I go, oh, you ought to see it at night. And they go, you've been up here? And I go, yeah, I was at the thing last night. And so I showed them my pictures. They're like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Yeah, it's like, come on, you haven't been up here? Come on.
Who am I hanging out with here?
What is this?
That's a real low-rent bullshit.
I thought you guys were swinging large.
I'm out of town and I do this bullshit.
Yeah. This is for chumps. Anyway, the one day I went running around, Michelle was in there, and
there are some comic shops there.
There's one that I could find.
Yeah.
Which is Big Adventure. I went to Big Adventure. I bought one thing. Told you. In fact, I brought it if you want to look at it. The Boulevard sketchbook.
What do these go for on eBay?
They're all out of print. You know what's funny is,
you know, I like Tommy Lee Edwards and John Paul Leone a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Out of the five here that you've got in here, yeah, for sure. Those would be my favorites.
So that's three. I bought
this one's
volume.
Been signed by...
Yeah, apparently that Trevor Goring lives up there.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
So I thought I had volume one and two, but apparently I have two and four.
What's this one?
Three.
Two, three, and four.
Right. I thought I had one and two. I didn't know there was a... I'm looking at this. I was looking at these today.
What's a one go for?
My Sean Chin. I bought this at his table at a con.
Okay.
Maybe. I have one somewhere, because I can't imagine. I got two and didn't get one.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Was this Tommy Lee Edwards doing that?
Probably. Anyway.
Oh, you know what? It is Tommy Lee Edwards.
Yeah, there was another book by Trevor Goring there that I kind of wish I would have bought. Apparently does a lot of storyboards, and it was called Movie Storyboards or something. It was all his storyboards for different movies, but it was $75, but apparently it's out of print. I kind of wish I would have got it, and if I'd went back, I might have bought it, but...
It's too bad John Paul Leone died.
Oh, yeah.
His art is so good.
Yeah, his art is good. I wonder if that's why they stopped doing these.
No, he only died like last year.
I don't know how old these are.
These are way older than that.
I don't know how many they did. Like I said, I thought there were only three, but then I realized, I don't have one here. This one has So that one has Walt Simonson as a guest.
Yeah.
This one has Bill Sienkiewicz and David LaFonte as guests. So apparently in the later ones, they've added guest artists. Anyway, so I went to Big Adventure Comics. When we were driving around, I tried to find it, but I couldn't find it. I followed on the... So when I was on foot, I walked to it, and it was in like a weird location.
It's got a kind of a good feel to it.
Yeah, it's got a weird cover.
It's nice.
Yeah. I'm sorry I never made it back to you. They had two, but I never made it back to get you one. But
no big deal.
We went by there, but it was late when we went by there. So the one day I did the art tour in the deal, and then I walked around like downtown Santa Fe, did some drawing. We went to, Michelle and I ate, they have this, there's called the Museums on the Hill. There's like a big Indian museum, but there's a folk, called like a folk art museum. We went to that, and it had some stuff about like this Mexican guy that's making these paper mache monsters. That was kind of cool. Later on, I'm trying to get my days in order. Michelle took a class making stained glass. She asked me if I wanted to take it, but I really didn't want to take it.
Why? It sounds awesome.
I didn't think it sounded interesting. Well, I didn't know what it'd be like, and it was kind of expensive. So she took it. Well, originally I was just going to give her the car and I was going to wander around downtown Santa Fe, but I decided that I would drive her and then pick her up. So I drove her. I dropped her off. I went by an art supply place called The Artisan there. I'd been there before, when I went there before, but...
Really quick, your Boulevard 3 sketchbook, you know what that goes for?
Uh-uh.
$104.
Oh my gosh. I should have bought all of them.
I guess this one's signed by three people, though, possibly.
Oh, yeah.
Volume 2 goes for, you can get it for about $22.
What about Volume 1?
I don't see a Volume 1 for sale.
I wonder if I've got... The 2 and the 4 were on my shelf together. I thought I had a Volume 1 somewhere. You know what? I think Volume 1 may be stapled.
I don't see a Volume 1 for
sale. I think it's black. I think it's got a black cover and it's stapled. Now that I think about it. That may be why I didn't see it on the shelf, because I was looking at spines.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. Maybe there's not another one past 4.
Anyway, so when Michelle was in her stained glass class, I went to two bookstores. I forget the name of them. I don't think I got anything that you'd be interested in. I did buy a book called, from the 70s, called The Penguin Book of World Comics. I probably should have bought that. I brought that over. I'll bring it over and show it to you one Friday. And it was okay. It was cheap. What else did I get? I bought a couple science fiction books, paperbacks at the other one. And then I went to her stained glass thing and picked her up. At the engineering group, so Michelle and I had gone to Meow Wolf. So the engineering group...
I was going to show you something real quick.
Okay.
You brought up stained glass. I don't know if you can tell what this is. This is a stained glass at a hotel right by where we were staying. It's not our hotel, but by where we were staying.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a knight fighting a dragon.
She did not make that. So I didn't take the class because I thought it would be like, you get on there.
I mean, that's pretty sharp.
That's pretty cool. I figured it would be like, okay, go in here. Hear that all this stuff is. Glue it together. We're going to do it.
It's lead, isn't it? You get to do the lead?
She did everything.
She bent the lead herself? You have to solder it.
She soldered it herself. I said, what did you do?
Dude, you should have fucking went to that.
Well, you know what?
What's her image look like that she did?
It's kind of a lotus flower thing.
That's cool.
So it's pretty simple. But she cut the glass out. I said, did you cut the glass out? She goes, oh, yeah, I cut the glass. I said, were you wearing safety goggles? She goes, oh, yeah, they made us wear.
And you have to use like one of those round blade kind of deals or whatever?
You got something and you scored it and then you broke it.
Okay.
You know, like a glass cutter, man.
Yeah.
See, I thought that you'd go in there and they'd give you pieces of glass and go, okay, put it together. Okay. No, man. I mean, when I got there, they weren't quite done. And Michelle's was done, but there was another couple that was taking the class. And what they did is they got, you cut out the pieces, and then you had some, like this tape.
Did you draw something on a piece of paper first, and you lay it over the
top? No, she had designs you could do. There was, like, she had samples on the wall, and you could pick one.
I want to do, like, the Batman logo, like the oval logo.
Well, ask Michelle, she'd probably tell you I'd do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, if I was there, I'd be like, I want to do my own thing. I don't want to do a flower.
Well, she had all kinds of stuff. But she had you had a paper pattern and put the glass on it and you score it and you break it.
Yeah.
And then you put it all together, and then there was like this tape that you taped it all together with, like this metal tape.
Uh-huh.
It's real thin. And then you would put the lead around it and solder it, man. And then you solder a hoop on the top.
And you hang it.
Yeah, it's hanging in our living room.
I think I need to do this. This sounds kind of cool. It sounds like a good craft project I want to do.
I
would have done that. Shit.
Well, it, like I said, it was kind of expensive.
Probably cooler than you thought it was going to be.
It was cooler than I thought it would be, but I was worried it'd be kind of lame. And I was like, because it was like $200.
She got a piece of artwork out of it, though.
She did get a piece of, and she bought, I don't know if you, well, you haven't been in my house in a while, but our whole wall is covered with art that Michelle's bought on these trips.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when we were in Ocean Grove.
You've got bookcases, so.
Yeah, I mean, my wife makes plenty of money. She wants to spend a couple $100 on art on a trip. I don't care.
Yeah.
She's got, when we were in Ocean Grove, they had a gallery there, and she bought this photo of the pier in Ocean Grove, and that's hanging up. And then she bought a watercolor this lady had done, kind of a mixed media thing. And it's only about this big, and that's really cool. That's hanging up.
She got a frame for it?
Oh, yeah, everything's framed. Our whole wall's covered. And when we were in Santa Fe, she got her thing, and then we went to this store that did, like, Turkish stuff, and she bought these bowls. These kind of bowls are really cool. They're
hookah pipe?
No. Bowls. Not a pot. Not a bowl like a bowl of pot, but a bowl like you'd eat out of.
Okay.
But it's real ornate. She bought two of them, and then she bought these tiles that are like, they're like this kind, whatever, coasters.
Yeah.
But they're all handmade, and they're like Santa Fe, like the building kind of. And so she hung all that. She bought these hangers, and we hung all that stuff up on the wall.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's got quite a little collection that she picked up. You know, we'll go somewhere and it's like, she'll buy, if it's, I mean, she doesn't have something. The most expensive thing she has, she bought a friend of hers that her high school roommate, who's in our wedding, she's a painter. And, I mean, she's really good, and she's done a lot of paintings. Well, she had a painting hanging in the Cabot Hall of Fame, and we went to one of her shows, and she had a small one that Michelle bought. And I mean, it was a fairy, but she said the fairy's like actually a painting of her niece. But anyway, so Michelle did that. That was kind of in the afternoon, so we went back. When we went back, they said, we were pulling into the garage, and like the group, most of which who didn't have cars, they said, hey, we're going to Meow Wolf. You guys want to go? And I go, do you have tickets for us? And they go, oh, yeah. Well, they said, we got 22 tickets. And I think they cost $40 a person to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So they had got a group of 22. And so we went to Meow Wolf a second time with a big group,
mm-hmm.
which I did not enjoy as much because it was a lot quicker and we were with people. So it was,
you had your own car though.
We had our own car. Well, they were taking a group. So they were looking for people that could drive people, but ended up nobody rode with us.
When they left, you could stay though. I'm like, I'll just stay. I'm not leaving.
Yeah, well, we thought about that, but we went out to eat afterwards. We went to a place called the Coyote Cafe,
mm-hmm.
which is some kind of famous restaurant in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I got a filet mignon. You know, normally you get filet mignon, it's about this big, mm-hmm. And it's got the bacon. This thing was like, it was huge.
How's that a filet mignon?
I don't know, but it was so good. I could have ate it with a fork. I mean, it was one of the best steaks I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
And it had a truffle crust on it, and it was on this bed of mashed potatoes that was like like, I don't know what kind of mashed...
It's like butter.
These are not like human mashed potatoes. These are like some other kind of mashed potato. It was phenomenal. And I mean, the group paid for it, and it was like...
Oh, hell yeah, they did.
Dude...
I'll take another helping.
Dude, I guarantee you, that was probably a $115 plate meal.
Yeah.
You know, but it was...
Was that big?
But dude, yeah, it was one of those deals where you go, and they're like, do you want the chicken, the fish, or the steak?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it. You get the steak, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Michelle got the fish or something. Yeah. I forget what she got.
Well, I've been to a deal like that before, and the deal was, do you want the steak or do you want the swordfish?
Oh, yeah. Now, that's like, a tougher choice.
I was like, I get steak all the time. How about swordfish? I don't have force. No one's offering me swordfish very often.
Yeah.
So I've been to a deal like that before.
Yeah, you got to get the, but the steak was phenomenal. Yeah. Anyway, okay, So let me circle back. Oh, okay. So let me finish off the story of the trip, mm-hmm. and then I'll circle back and talk about Meow Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So Michelle and I left on Sunday morning. We were trying to kind of get home in a hurry because we had to go pick up our dog. Our dog had been sick. Luckily, she was okay. Got over it, but Michelle was kind of antsy, so we're trying to get home. So I'm on I-40 between, like, McCarty and Poblano or some kind of two small towns that aren't even on most maps, but I'm probably...
How far are you from the Texas border?
I was 150 miles from Amarillo. So, quite a ways. I was a ways from Tucumcari.
Yeah.
I'd been out of Santa Fe for maybe 2 hours.
Okay.
2 hours and a 7.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
I'm in the Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Now, when we rented it, my wife is looking it over, and she goes, for some reason, she opens the trunk, and she picks up the thing. She goes, hey, there's not a spare tire. Guy goes, and she goes, I'm not crazy about that. He goes, don't worry about it. If there's a problem, we'll take care of it. I'm doing 95, and the tire light comes on.
Yeah.
And I'm
95, going, it's a good speed.
So I did 95. The entire way from Santa Fe till the tire light came on.
You just rode that tire to nothing.
Dude, I was like, and you know what my first thought was? There's no freaking spare.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Volkswagen does not tell you what pressure is in the tire.
Mm-hmm.
Light comes on, it tells you you have a problem in the right front tire, or the left front tire.
At least you know what's out.
And so I go, oh, the tire light's on. And so, immediately, I'm on the brake. And Michelle's like, what's wrong? And I go, tire light's on.
We have to get on the brake. You can kind of ease off.
Well, I was going 95. I don't want to blow out at 95.
No, I know.
So, I'm down to, there's nobody. I mean, we're on I-40 in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's cars, but not that many. So, I pull over, and I get out. I have no tire gauge.
Does it look flat?
It did not look flat. Looked low. It looked funny. It did not look like the other tires.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, crap. And so,
well, can you make it 30 more miles on it? Where's the next town at?
It was Tucumcari, which is not very big, and it was probably about 30 miles away. Well, so here's what. So we call Enterprise, and they say we'll send out a tow truck. He'll tow you back to Santa Fe.
No, I don't go that way. We'll get the other
give
way.
You another rental car.
No, that's bullshit.
And
bring me a car.
Like, no, tell them to bring you a car. No, we don't want to do that. And they said, well, they said it was Sunday. The only places that are open today that can get your rental car are Santa Fe or Amarillo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent out a tow truck. It got there in about 30 minutes.
That's quick.
He loads us up.
Mm-hmm.
He drives us to Amarillo, Texas.
That's a long ride.
We were in a tow truck for about 2 hours, oh, dude. Man. And so they
three come. Across the cab.
No. It was two rows. So oh, okay. I was in the back.
Okay.
And the guy's super nice, young guy.
Was it a flatbed or is it? There's a car.
No, it's a flatbed.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
And so you know the guy's super cool.
Yeah, what's that tote cost?
I don't know, because I didn't have to pay it.
No, I know.
So
that's got to be a pricey one.
So they tell us where to take it. So we figure out it's a Firestone. So Michelle calls him and tells him, hey, you know, what's going on? The guy goes, well, we're not real busy. We should be able to look at it. So Michelle and I are talking about this. And I says, hey, so what they want us to do is go there, drop the car off, take a Uber to the airport, and then get a rental car there and go home. So I told Michelle, I go, well, let's see what's going on. Maybe we'll just take the car. Maybe if they can fix it quickly, we'll take the car home.
Yeah.
So we get there, and I'm looking at it, go, it ain't gone flat yet. The guy's like pushing on. He's like, no, it ain't gone flat.
But just the sensor.
So we go in there, and the guy's like, and so we had talked to this guy for the whole time, you know, super cool guy. And he's wearing a Firestone jacket. And I go, do you work at Firestone? He goes, oh, no, I used to work at Firestone. I was the manager at somewhere. He goes, but but now I'm, you know, at this towing place. And I go, well, I said, I don't blame you for wearing it. It's a nice looking jacket. I mean, it's, you know, as well as heavy duty work kind of jackets.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't blame you for wearing it. He goes, oh, no, you know. And so we get in. When we go in there, the guy knows the guy that's there. He's like, oh, yeah, I wondered if you'd be. And then, so he's like, oh, yeah. He tells him, oh, yeah, these guys have problems. If you help him, be great. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll get him right back there. And so he goes out there and he's messing with the car. And he comes in. He goes, did you put air in the tires? I go, no, I didn't put. I said, no, I haven't done anything. He goes.
It's overflated.
One of your tires had 98 pounds of air in it.
And you were going so fast, it heated up and it was got too much.
He said, when you're in the mountains and you come down, your tires will inflate. But he said the others only had like 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. He said somebody had overinflated that one.
Mm-hmm.
That one was overinflated. And I told Michelle, I go, crap. I said, I will never, ever travel and not have a tire gauge on me. And normally, I'll check the tires in a rental car because I don't trust those. You know, I have a compressor here. I could have done it, but. And we were in no rush in the morning.
We did not even look in our rental car if it had a spare or not. But we only put 149 miles on our rental
car.
Yeah,
I drove mine.
We never left the LA area.
Right, you would have been fine. You could have.
I want to tell you one thing, though. I've decided that, and I've drove in both. L.A. traffic is worse than Manhattan traffic by far.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not shocked.
I mean, I've drove in Manhattan myself. I've been in plenty of Ubers in Manhattan. You know, Manhattan's an island. L.A. Right. is like never-ending.
Right.
The traffic in L.A. is insane. And then a lot of the smaller streets have no left turn lanes, so only two cars can make a left. And everybody else backs up until the next light, and then two more cars can go. It's crazy. And on the highway might be 8 lanes wide north and 8 lanes wide south, and it's still crawling.
Yeah.
Traffic in L.A. is just, I could not, as much as you go, well, it's beautiful, it's got all this and that, it's got the ocean, it's got the good weather. Even if you lived in a mansion there, the traffic would make it unbearable for me. I could not take it.
I have no desire to live in California. I mean, the weather's beautiful. San Diego is a phenomenal, cool town, but I couldn't take it.
You can't park anywhere. You can't go anywhere.
You know, that's what Ellis said. Ellis, you know, our friend Ellis, friend of the show, Ellis Goodson, has said when he lived in L.A., he got to where he hated going places.
Yeah.
He said he'd gone to several. He'd get invited to some kind of party or something, hey, we're going to go to this restaurant. He'd get there and couldn't find a place, end up going home, be like, I couldn't find a place to park.
Or you're going to go meet your pal somewhere, and you get there an hour later because the traffic is so bad that you can't get there.
Well, when we went, we were going to go to the Price is Right, and it was like, well, we're halfway there, and it's the show's starting.
If you look on the map, we didn't have the smartphones. We left in plenty of time to make it.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Plenty of time to make it. But the traffic was so bad that morning, we did not make it.
No.
If we would have almost had to spend the night there to make it, because our hotel was so far away.
Yeah.
The traffic this time, we only put 149 miles in that rental car, but it was all in and around L.A., you know, the city.
Yeah.
And then the surrounding towns or whatever. It's so much traffic. It's just, at one point, another side story, we had left, I forgot where we were going somewhere from our hotel to somewhere to eat or something. And my phone tells me, you would think you'd go up here three blocks to the light, make a left, and go down to Main Street. But my phone tells me, turn right here. Well, I'd already passed it. And then I look down here and I realize, oh, four blocks up is a light that's backed up. And so what it wanted me to do is go to the side street. So I did an illegal U-turn in the middle of the street, just because the traffic had stopped.
Right, yeah.
And I went down this side street, and it was a residential street. Then I realized, oh, this goes through. So instead of having a light and a light and a light, it's like stop sign, stop sign, stop sign.
Yeah.
But you've got cars on both sides of the street parked.
Right.
So it's only in between. There's only enough room for one car. So someone's coming, you got to
maneuver around them.
Oh, and then there'll be streets that like an Ann Arbor kind of a street or a MacArthur that you're going along, and then all of a sudden there's cars parked against the curb. People are going 40, and then there's a car parked at Perry Service. So people have to stop and then try to get over real quick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why in the police having these cars towed? Well, the reason why they're not, because it's going on everywhere. You'd need 200 wreckers to take care of this problem, you know? Yeah. So they don't, even though it says no parking along here, people are parking along here.
Yeah, they're taking their chances.
And I was telling everybody in the car, I go, well, these people should be towed. And everybody in the car was like, oh, well, they don't have enough room. Their driveway is so short, they don't have enough room to park. And I'm like, that's not our problem.
Right.
That's their problem for living here. They got to live somewhere. I go, well, if they got a car, don't live here because there's not a spot to park your car.
Yeah.
Drive a
moped. The weather's nice.
But point being is the phone was like, don't go to the light. Go through the residential neighborhood. It's much quicker.
For a long time I was like, I've driven for years with maps. GPS is no big deal. Traffic on the GPS is great. Yeah. Or when it tells you, there is a cop up ahead.
Speaking of which, we'll get back to your thing, but sure. On my second trip, when we were coming back from Kansas City,
yeah,
we're going through the Flint Hills, the Badlands
of Kansas.
We're going through there, right?
Yeah.
And it's me, and it's two other cars. There's three of us, and we're all going like 86. Now the speed limit is 75, so we're going about a little over 10 over, right? We're going fast. We get through there.
It's no 95.
We're going through there, and we've been doing this for like 40, 50 miles.
Yeah.
Right? The three of us. And there's people passing us, by the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we get through there, and then all of a sudden, those two cars take off and leave me. Even though we've been a pack for 50 miles or more, they just take off and leave me going in the 90s, I guarantee it, or maybe even 100. And I'm like, what's changed? We've been riding together for like the better part of, not an hour, but like, I don't know how long, a long, long time, many, many miles. And then they just start flying down the road. And I thought, what do they know? I don't know. How do they know there's no police up there? And then I thought, maybe there's some kind of app saying that there's no cops and they just decide to go for it.
There's apps like that.
But I don't have it. So I'm going to hang out where I'm doing. I'm not going to do what they're doing. But I'm telling you, all of a sudden, it was like, and there was no rhyme or reason to it. They just took off. But anyway, back onto your thing.
Okay, so anyway, the guys like adjust the air and the tires, and we're off on our merry way. We come home.
The driver had to have a tire gauge.
He probably did, and he didn't check them.
Mm-hmm.
But
when he was thinking, he didn't go, God, it's really firm.
Well, and I think that's why it looked funny. It was probably bowed up.
Oh, yeah. It's probably riding like this.
Riding on the edges, riding on the sidewall.
Yeah.
So we get home. But the funny thing about it is I told Michelle, I go, well, for about 2 hours, we weren't burning any gas.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
And so we get home. So Michelle was going to drive the car to work and then drop it off on her way home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she goes, because you can't drop them off at night anymore up there. They've had too much problems.
This over here?
Yeah, the one by us.
Really?
Yeah. So Michelle says, hey, look, I want to drop it off in the morning. Can you go in late? I said, sure, I'm going late, which is Monday, going in late is terrible at my work. But that, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Monday's my meeting day. I got meetings all morning. But anyway, so I text our people. So we're going to go up there. And I tell her, I say, I'm going to wait in the car. You go in. And I said, just go in and turn it in and see what happens.
All you got to do is get the keys and leave, don't you?
Well, she gives him the keys. And the guy goes, well, how'd it go? And she goes, well, I got to be honest. So she tells him the story.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what? That is terrible. It's a different guy than one that rented it. He said, I'm sorry you had trouble with that. Let me knock off a day. So they knocked a day. They knocked $70 off of our rental.
Where'd they say the spare tire was? Apparently
Volkswagens don't come with them. Dude, a lot of new cars do not have spare tires.
They have to have a spot for a spare, don't they?
They did have a spot for a spare. But Yo Michelle's car doesn't have a spare tire.
Why?
I don't know. Mine does. I wouldn't have bought one without one. But when she bought her car, I wasn't with her. And it wasn't a thing. But her car doesn't have a spare tire.
Does it got a spot for one?
It does have a spot for one. I've considered...
You ought to call the junkyard and see if you just get a wheel and go
I've
buy
it. I've considered doing it.
Just go buy a tire.
I'd have to buy a jack. I'd have to buy...
Oh, don't have any of that either?
Doesn't have anything. I've thought about throwing... I have an extra lug wrench. I've thought about throwing it in there just so in case you had to...
You could go to the junkyard and just get a wheel.
I could for cheap. Well, if I could find one of those at a junkyard, I'd get everything.
Well, I'm saying the tire may not be any good, but you can maybe get a wheel.
Well, and last time I got tires on
just get
it.
A tire over here at this.
Well, track. Last time I got tires, I should have kept one of them, but.
No. You buy a used rim, then go over here and get your tire, new tire, and then just. Actually, the junkyard's probably got jacks and shit you can get
out of
there.
That's what I was going to say. If I can find a car like hers, I get all this stuff out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've thought about it, but we have AAA, and I've thought, well, so the plus side is. Or if Michelle was by herself, I don't know if I'd want her putting the wheel on. I don't know. I mean, I think she knows what to do, and I guarantee you she's changed tires. I don't know if she could get it. She probably could.
She could step on it.
But the flip side is, if I'm with her, because I know I could. I put one on the Subaru a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's no big deal. So let me go back and talk about Meow.
Don't get her a scissor jack. Get her a bottle jack. Of course, then again, the scissor jack's got the spot where you see
yeah,
you do it.
Well,
the bottle jack doesn't.
Her car probably has the bracket. Like, mine has a bracket for all that stuff.
Jack,
yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
The bottle jack, you got to put it under, like, a suspension thing. It's harder to do.
The scissor jack is easy because there's a spot in the frame.
There is, but it's just kind of a hassle cranking that damn thing. With the bottle jack, keep going.
In a perfect world, you'd have a floor jack in your trunk. But,
yeah, really.
But, you know. Anyway, so let me talk about Meow Wolf. I've skipped over Meow Wolf because I want to talk about it in a little more detail because it's very cool. So what is Meow Wolf? Meow Wolf...
Well, you never explained. Does Wayne Cohen have a stake in this thing or what?
No.
I thought he did.
No, he didn't. Okay, so first off, there's a museum similar here called Factory Obscura. It has nothing to do with Meow Wolf.
Okay.
It's a similar idea. They were I don't know if they were inspired by it, but similar idea. So forget about all that stuff here. That's the Wayne Cohen. The thing here is in the building he used to own. I don't know if he gave it to him, sold it to him, rented it. I don't know what.
Okay.
But he's not involved with that.
Okay.
Okay. Even though he had, did you ever go down there and see the?
I never went on the inside. I've been to the outside of it.
Okay, so you didn't go into the tree thing.
Mm-mm.
I forget what it's called. Okay, that was pretty cool. Anyway, okay, so Meow Wolf. So Santa Fe is a big art town. However, the bulk of it is Southwestern style art or Indian art.
Right.
So there were artists there, but it's a big art town. So there were these artists there that they felt like the galleries were kind of keeping them out.
They're not being represented.
They weren't able to break in. They felt like they were kind of being gatekept. either they were performance artists. What they were doing didn't really fit in what people in Santa Fe were doing. So they kind of started their own thing, their own little group, and they started putting on like their own shows. And so they're trying to figure out a name. And so what they did is they put a bunch of names. Everybody wrote down a word, and they would write. They wrote down just a bunch of words, and they combined them. And I don't know if they put them in a hat and pulled them out of a hat or what, or maybe they wrote down two word combinations or whatever. The only one that they liked was Meow Wolf. It's like they liked it, and so that's the name of the group that puts it all together. Mm-hmm. And it's a bunch of people. There's like the original group. And so they did several kind of small shows. They would rent out a place and they'd put on some kind of like a performance or whatever. They had a warehouse at one point, like a small warehouse. And they did a show. Let me look and see what the name of the show was. So they did a science fiction, like in 2008, they did a science fiction inspired installation called Biome Neuro Norb. They did a show in 2009 called Auto Wolf. It was an installation around the destruction of a car. They did a multimedia theatrical play called The Moon Is to Live On in 2010. The big one they did, and there's a documentary about Meow Wolf, about kind of the origins of Meow Wolf. The big one they did is called The Dew Returned. And it was a 70-foot-long ship, like a boat. It was in a warehouse, but it was a boat. And you could go through it. It was filled with rooms. And it had details of the people that were on the ship. So they, from that, there was a bowling alley that was for sale in Santa Fe. And one of the members had, like, gone to that bowling alley as a kid. And he wanted to buy it and put Meow Wolf in there. So he approached George R.R. Martin, who lives in Santa Fe.
And did you go by his house?
I did not go by his house. I don't know where his house is. I didn't even think about that. And he loaned them, I think it was $12 million. I think he loaned him $12 million. But
that's a good chunk of change.
He loaned him some, maybe it was $1.2 million. That sounds like more reasonable, doesn't it? Anyway, he loaned him some money, and they bought the bowling alley, and they built Meow Wolf. Meow Wolf, it's in a bowling alley, but it doesn't look anything like a bowling alley anymore. They gutted the inside. It is 70 rooms, and it is an interactive, immersive environment. To say it's a museum is not really accurate. Their idea was, what if we built Disney, something like Disneyland, but weird? And so, but it tells a story. And so, you were looking at the brochure and you said, oh, there's a refrigerator on the front of the brochure. We went early. We were in the first group. You buy a ticket and you get an arrival time. So, and if you go, I would suggest going early because you want more time to go through it. But anyway, we got there early. Also parking was better. You go through a metal detector, you go in, and then you gotta have your ticket in advance, which I had passes, by the way. The people here at Factory Obscure, they gave me passes, though, a long time ago. I've had those passes for years, and I emailed
them. They're still good?
I emailed them. Are they still good? And they go, oh, yeah. I sent them pictures. So so you go through, and then you go, and they kind of get you. And then there's a door, and you go through this door. I mean, it's just like here. You turn here, and you go. And it's this really dark room, and it's really big. And it took you a minute. Because you're like from outside this dark room, so it kind of takes you a minute to get used to it. And you realize you're like in the front yard of this house, and you don't know where to go. I mean, you're just there, and they'll tell you,
so it's a house, but you're in the building.
You're in the building, but it's like two stories. It's a two-story house. You can see, and there's like a fence over here, and there's a mailbox. And if you go look in the mailbox, there's stuff in the mailbox. There's like letters. There's a sympathy card. There's some stuff in the mailbox.
So you can look at it, but you get to put it back.
It does say, please return what's in there, you know. And you can read. There's, like, all kinds of stuff you can look at in the mailbox. So you go into the house, and you go in and, like, say you go over to the left. Over the left is, like, the front, like, sitting room or whatever. And in there, there's this painting. It's on an easel, and it's of this, it's like, it looks kind of like a person, but it's got, like, a black face. And it's just this, it's kind of, like, almost, like, evil-looking, this painting. It's, like, some kind of creature, but it's human-looking. And there's, like, a note clip to it. And if you read the note, it says, Mom, I know that you don't like me talking about the things I see, but I am seeing them. I know everyone thinks it's in my imagination, but I'm really seeing this stuff. Or something like that. It's like this real long note. And then you can go, and there's, like, a chair here, and you can read, and there's an article about this. There's a magazine, and if you flip through it, it's, like, the town of Modestino, California. And it's like, if you read the article, if you flip through it, you realize one of the articles about this lady named Jean Selig, this artist, mm-hmm. and you realize that's her house that you're in. Mm. You know, there's, like, pictures or whatever. So there's all kinds of, like, there's books you can, there's books on the shelf you can pull out and look at. Some of them you're like, is this a real book? Is it a prop? I don't know what this is. So you'll go, then say you're in that room, kind of look around there, then you go back out kind of in the entryway, there's stairs going up. So you go, if you go to the stairs, there's, like, a hook there, and if you pull on it, there's a secret door. Okay, so, like, we go in, and they tell you, and I knew there was stuff everywhere. They said, touch everything except other people and don't break anything. But they said they want you to pick stuff up and look at it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, do pictures move? Is something behind a picture? Is there, you know, they want you to touch everything. So so I'm like, that looks, you know, it kind of looked like it wasn't right. So I pulled on the hook and, like, sure enough, it opened. There's a little room under the stairs. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about that in a second. But in the room, you can see it's just kind of a little space on the stairs, and there's a doorway past that. But in the room, there's, like, little kids' drawings of different kind of creatures. And there's a note, I forget what the note said that some kid had wrote. Mm-hmm. So don't go in that room. If you go to the right, you go in the living room, and I forget what all is in the living room. If you go past that, there's a dining room. And in the dining room, there's a VCR set up on a tripod. And you realize in the dining room, there's this chandelier. It's kind of one, it's one of these where it comes down and then goes up, mm-hmm. but it's all melted looking. And if you look at the wall, it's got wainscoting all around it. But when it goes to the back wall, it's all warped. Mm-hmm. And, like, the wall's kind of, that back wall's kind of messed up. And there's a video that's playing, and you realize that it's this older man, and he was recorded on that camcorder in that room, and he's talking about his experiments. Mm-hmm. If you go over here, you're in the kitchen, and in the kitchen, when you're looking, there's like weird stuff in the kitchen, but if you open the refrigerator and you go in the refrigerator, you can see there's a bright light. You open it, it's, like, super bright in there. If you walk through there, you're out of the house, okay? If you go into the living room, there's a fireplace. If you crouch down, you can go into the fireplace, and you're out of the house. Mm. Well, let's go upstairs real quick. Because what Michelle...
Is it out of the house, like in the backyard or what?
Well, let me go through the upstairs. Okay, so if you go up the stairs, there's a kid's room over here. And there's like in one of the kids' rooms, you can look around, there's stuff, there's like a diary, you can read the diary. All this stuff is going on in this kid's life. You can see the different books, the kid's reading about science and stuff. There's a hamster cage in there. It's the other bedroom actually, but if you're in there, like in this room, if you go, there's a secret door leading out of the house in that room. So If you go across
into another dimension.
If you go across the hall, let's not leave the house yet. If you go across the hall, there's a bathroom. You go in the bathroom, and it's kind of normal looking. If you open the medicine cabinet, you'll see there's this tunnel, and it goes back. It looks like a long way, like 10 feet back. And if you look, there's a little thing that looks like a hamster in there. And if you look at the toilet, the tiles, like they look normal over here, over there, man, they're all warped. And the toilet is kind of at an angle. If you look down in the toilet and you look way down there, you see a person way down there, little bitty person. And so then if you go to the next room, it's the twins room, and there's two bunk beds. That's the one with the hamster cage, the story, there's books, there's all kinds of papers these kids have written. If you go in the closet in that room and you pull the clothes away, there's another door going out of the
house. You're on the second floor though, right?
We're on the second floor. So if you go across the hall, there's a room that's like a little, like a study. There's a computer in there, and it's playing this video of this guy. This guy's talking about these experiments that he's done. And there's all these papers. There's like tons of papers. And there's sitting right there is like a last will and testament. And it's like, you're reading it. It's about 6 pages. You read through it, and it talks about how I'm leaving my family this. And you realize it's the old man on here, and he's the grandfather. I forget his name. The family name is Selig. He's the grandfather of this. And in there, he says, I'm leaving you all my papers in the safe. And the combination for the safe is my wedding date. Well, then you realize, like, wait a minute. Over here is like a scrapbook. So you look at the scrapbook. It's like, oh, there's a obituary from when his wife died. Oh, and it says when they got married. So there's this little safe right there. And when we went in there, there was these people that were trying to guess the code. So I'm looking at the paper. I'm trying to go, I think I know when the... And so they leave, and it opens, yeah. And there's papers in there, and it talks about his experiments and how, and you realize what it is the family, they're like an artistic family, they're very creative, and the father was like, the grandfather was like some kind of inventor or something, and he used sound waves, and one of the kids had a pet hamster that died, and he brought it back to life. Mm-hmm. But something else happened. And now you realize through reading all this paper that of the twins, the daughter, there's a twin boy and girl, I think the daughter, and now anybody listen to this, if I misremember the story, you got to figure all this out. They don't tell you any of this. Mm-hmm. But apparently the daughter has vanished, or one of them has vanished. And so the grandfather thinks, or they think it's because of these experiments, that the grandfather opened some portal into other dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, so I got the paper. I'm reading the paper, and they go, oh, you got the safe open. And I go, oh, yeah. And I shut it. And they're like, what the?
Yeah, I did. I got to put shit back.
I was like, I don't want to ruin it for you. And I told them, I said, the code is his anniversary. And they're like, okay. You know, I don't know if they ever got it open. But
well, I'll tell you what that is.
Anyway, so let me go back through the portals. So basically, what it reminded me of.
Well, this is inside of a bowling alley.
Yes.
So the bowling alley has 2 stories inside?
Apparently so. Because okay. This is fully 2 stories.
Yeah.
What it reminded me of is like walking into a Twilight Zone episode. Mm-hmm. I mean,
So I thought it was just a bunch of random bullshit.
No, it's not.
But the way you described it in the past was random bullshit.
Oh, well, I hadn't been there yet. I didn't know. No, I'd never been there before.
I thought you went there before.
No.
You'd been out there before that way.
It wasn't. I didn't know it was there when I went there. I think when I went there before, I don't think it was open. No, I'd never been there. This is the first time I've been there.
Okay. Because you talked about this place a lot.
Yeah, because I wanted to go. Well, once we were going to Santa Fe, I was like, I'm going to Meow.
Well, since I got one in Grapevine, you can drive down there and do that.
I'm going to at some point.
Okay.
But it's completely different down there.
Yeah.
There's one in Denver, there's one in Grapevine, there's one in Las Vegas.
Yeah, there's another one.
Let's see. There's, okay, so the one in Santa Fe is called House of Eternal Return, and it says Cosmic Mystery Awaits. And then the one in Las Vegas is called Omega Mart, See What's in Store. Denver is Convergence Station, Travel the World. Grapevine is The Real Unreal, Come Find Yourselves. They misspelled selves. They spelled it with an F. But anyway.
Well, it might be on purpose.
Maybe it is. Anyway, so let's go back. Okay, so if you go through, I'll go through the small portals. If you go through the portal in the closet, there's like, you go through, you go to the back of the closet, you're in this dark room, and then you see like, there's this diorama, this little bitty town. It looks like it's in the distance, but there's all this stuff going on. I mean, everything you saw, it wasn't like they just slapped it up there. Like, you look in the windows and see people doing stuff in this little town. Mm-hmm. And then you
It's like the Bottle City of Kandor?
Something like that. But it's big. I mean, it's, it's one of these squares of your table that's probably 3x4, 3x5. It's that big. And it's, multi-leveled. Mm-hmm. It's like on a hill and there's all these little houses. That's pretty much all that's in that one. If you go... So I'll tell you what Michelle and I did. We went in, and I heard there were secret passages in the house. So we go in, and I see the stairs, and I see that hook, and I'm like, I bet there's one under. I mean, it just looked like. So, I played D&D, check for secret doors.
Yep.
So I went over there, and I rolled a one, and I got in that secret door. And so we went in there, and then on
you
ours.
Behind you, so Noel knows about it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, I went in there, and we go in, and there's a room, and it's kind of got, it's got greenery on the wall, and it's got a neon sign that says, Welcome to, and then it's like, Mersino or something like that. It's the name of the town the house is in. I don't know if it's a real California town, but the first part was normal, the second part was like dripping. So they're like, what in the world? So then you go farther, and you're in like this spaceship. It looks like it's all white. It looks like a spaceship. And there's like somebody, you hear his voice going, you have passed the test. You have been scanned. Then you go through there, and then, let me see if I can find, I took a ton of pictures. So then I took 111 pictures of this place. So then you go into this room, and you see this creature.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I don't know if you can tell how big that is, but there's a picture of me standing next to it.
Mm.
I mean, it's probably like 12 foot tall. It's this big furry thing with horns. So, oh, right here. I got a picture. This is a picture of Michelle in front of the secret door under the stairs. Cool, yeah. So, from there on, here's the sign melting. So we went under the stairs and we saw this. First we saw this. I forgot about it. I don't even know what that is. It's a bunch of greenery and lights. This place had lights everywhere. So then that's the town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess it didn't say welcome to, but it's the name of the town melting. I'm like, I don't know what this is. So then we went and we saw this thing. Oh man, the next picture is a refrigerator. So we go through there. So, like, if you go in the refrigerator, you go in, and you're in a different spaceship. You're in this room, and it's round. It's real big, and it's round. But there's something in the middle, and there's, like, chairs. But when you're walking, the ceiling gets lower and lower.
Yeah.
And so you're walking along. You go into, like, at one point you go...
So it sounds like you're in a wheelchair. You couldn't do anything.
You couldn't. No. I don't believe it's handicap accessible at all. Because at front parts, there's rough terrain you got to go over. At one point...
Is it dog-friendly, pet-friendly?
I didn't see any dogs in there, but I'm sure if you pulled that service animal stuff, they'd probably let it in.
Service animal stuff.
Yeah. At one point, you go into like a little Airstream kind of trailer, and you're in there, and there's like some charts, and there's a radio. And so Michelle turns on the radio, and it's playing static. So she's tuning it. And, like, all of a sudden you hear, like, some voice going, is anybody out there? Can you hear me? Help me. Help me. And then, you know, it kind of fades off and you're like tuning. And then so like at one point you go and you're in like a shed and it's got all the grandpa. It's like the grandpa's shed. It's got all his notes and stuff in it. You go at one point you go and one spot's kind of open. Like at one point they have concerts there. And so they have one's a big room and they have stages mm-hmm. and you can go up and there are balconies and there's all kinds of stuff to see. There's at one point in that kind of open area, you see what looks like an arcade. But you go in there, and it's got probably like half a dozen video games, but it had like a joust machine, but it didn't play like a regular joust machine. And so, and there's all these different arcade games in there, and either they've rebranded them as something weird, like the writing is not in English, mm-hmm. or the game, like there was one, and some of them you can play. Like I played Joust and it just played completely different and it had a different cabinet. There was like a Mortal Kombat game, or it looked like Mortal Kombat and it said Mortal Kombat, but there were clowns or something. Like all the arcade games were messed up mm-hmm. and or altered is probably a better way to put it. Like at one point you're going and there's a hallway and it's got all these boxes of cereal. And they look like normal cereal, but they've all been, like, altered. So none of them... And so through all this stuff, you figure out, like, through the grandpa's experiments, he's, like, contacted some beings that he shouldn't have contacted. Mm-hmm. And so these people, these creatures, and there are videos. Like, we went in this one room, and it was... it had a desk. It had a table sitting there. And there was like something in front of it. I forget what it was. It was just this, it wasn't real big. And so the people in front of us were in there and were like, what's in here? Nothing in here. And they walked out. Well, there was a chair, so I sat down. And there was a lap drawer in the, so I pulled on the lap drawer and it wouldn't come open.
Yeah.
Well, I pushed the bottom of it and all of a sudden it had a keyhole, like you could lock it. All of a sudden this light came on and the thing, and it showed this 15-minute movie about these creatures taking over the universe and how, They were like immortal and they were bored. And so they realized their only goal in life was creativity. And so they were basically like trying to find creative people. And apparently the grandpa's experiments like ruptured the space-time. And so these anomalies, that's what they call themselves, the anomaly was able to contact them. And that's why this stuff is messed up, but I mean, it was, there was a room that and it was called,
sounds kind of like an escape room, but cooler.
Dude, this is so much cooler because there was no escaping it. Like you went in one,
you're figuring stuff out like escape rooms go.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you go through the fireplace, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to crawl, and it's dark. You crawl and you kind of turn the thing and you go, it's not real long, but you go in there and you come out and you're in this room. It looks like the Arctic, and there's a skeleton of a mammoth, a woolly mammoth, but it's a skeleton. And if you go in there, like the ribs, all its bones are lit up.
Damn.
And there's a mallet there, and if you bang on the ribs, it'll make a noise.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we went in this one room. It's like
Neil Peart playing the bells.
Yeah, and we went in one room, and I mean, like Michelle and I were there for 2 hours, and we thought we were done. And we were walking. I go, what's in here? And there was a door. I opened it. It was a whole nother, like, dozen rooms, man. It was crazy. It's like, we almost missed all this stuff. There's a room that we went in. It's real tall. It's like two stories. And in the middle, it had, like, on the corners, it had these things that looked like dogs. But they looked like they were origami. They were all real angular.
Mm-hmm.
And then every facet was painted a different color. And they had... the eyes were buttons, and you could push them, and different things would happen. And like in the middle was this big obelisk, and there's a big hand, kind of like in Logan's Run, has got the palm in the the lobby there. But it was like that, and we, you know, you go in there, and I would do it and did the lights and stuff. We went in there, we went back with a group, and we went in there, and some kids were in there, and I don't know what they pushed. All of a sudden, all this music started playing, and all this crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. At one point, there was a, you know, the old school, like, ice machines that had the, not the machines, but the deal where it's got the ice and it's got the glass door and it's got the bags of ice in there. There was one of those, and if you opened it, there was a room you could go in there. And there were switches. You could hit the switches and stuff would happen. It was super crazy. There was a school bus standing on its end, and you could go in the bottom and walk around. You go in the top, and, like, all the controls were over here, you know, and you're walking around in there, and there's crazy music going on and stuff. It was really cool. We were there. The first time we went, we were there for 2 hours. And, I mean, dude, we had something. Oh, Michelle's friend was flying in, so we were kind of like, we got there at 10, and we said, well, we'll probably leave, like, at 12 or 1 and go eat lunch. And we were there for no more than 2 hours, but we ended up leaving.
If you leave, can you come back? Were your tickets good to come back?
You could not re-enter once you could not, but you could, there were bathrooms. You could leave and go to the bathroom, but you couldn't leave the building and come back in, I don't think. Which was unfortunate, but I mean, I could have spent 3 hours
there. You can come back to Disney. I can't believe you can't come back to that thing.
You know, I didn't ask. We had kind of had other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was real. I thought it was really, really cool. Like I said, the nearest thing I would compare it to is, like, walking into a Twilight Zone episode. But it's like, and again, you know, sometimes you see stuff like that, and it's just, like the one here, you go, it's just a bunch of stuff they put together. Here, it was kind of like a story. There was stuff to figure out, and I don't think they've, the one here is, like, not a tenth of the size.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have 70 rooms. They probably have
10. I think it's got 70 rooms.
It's got 70 rooms you can go into.
In one bowling alley. It sounds like a big bowling alley.
It was a pretty big bowling alley, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was really, really, I mean, I'll go back. When we went the second time, I was disappointed because we were the group. And we were kind of trying to stay with people, and we were only there for like an hour, you know. And I mean,
it's more than an hour with the stuff.
Oh my gosh!
If you start reading that stuff, that takes.
Oh gosh, yeah, there was no reading stuff.
You feel like this between the two, you saw almost everything.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, do I remember everything?
You think you went through 70 rooms?
I think I did, dude.
Wow.
Oh, and you go into one room. There's a big area where they have like a stage at one end and they'll do concerts. Mm-hmm. And there's a room off of that. It's got a couple different things in it. One of them, it's got a piano in it, but it's got a phone booth, like an old school, like post in the ground with a phone, not a, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like one you might find in front of a gas station.
Yeah.
But it's got a screen on the top where it's a phone, there's a screen. If there are people there, you pick it up, they're talking to people here in Oklahoma City. I talked to some people in Oklahoma City, but I don't think they could hear me very well.
Why was it connected to Oklahoma City?
It just is. And apparently they do it at all of them. They're all connected somehow by the video phone thing.
Why Oklahoma City?
I don't know. I guess when they put the one in here in Oklahoma City or something they came up with.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of affiliated, but not really. I mean, different people built the one down here. But, I mean, they're not on the list, you see. So
it's not called Meow Wolf.
It's not called Meow Wolf. Mm. But anyway, yeah, it was cool. I bought me well, that's the other thing I was going to say. So I went to the gift shop because I told Michelle, I'm going to go in the gift shop. So I go to the gift shop. I bought a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a hat. Kind of like the hat, kind of like the shirt, but I was like, you know. Didn't get them. Then later I thought, I ought to go back. Well, I got an email asking my opinion of it. And I thought, you know, would you be willing to answer a few questions? I go, yeah. So I answered them. Then they said, would you do a longer survey? And I go, yeah, sure. Or they said, would you do a longer survey and we'll send you a gift? And I go, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. So they gave me 40% off of anything on the online store.
Mm-hmm.
And free shipping.
Oh, wow, free shipping, yeah.
So I ended up buying a hat and a shirt.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. But anyway, Meow Wolf, I would call that, for me, it was the highlight of the trip, but the whole trip was pretty cool. Man, if you, I know Santa Fe is kind of a weird, it's not really on the way to anything, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and you can't fly into it.
It's off the beaten path.
It is off the beaten path. But man, I tell you what, it is worth, it is, it, it's, I think, I would say, I mean, first off, I thought the town was pretty cool. It's the opposite of LA, super easy to get around in.
Yeah.
There's basically one big road in the middle of the town that goes from downtown to out of town. So it's easy to get around. The traffic is, it was heavy in spots, but man, the people there are so laid back about driving. You know, it was no big deal getting anywhere. Never had any driving issue or whatever, other than the stupid tire thing. But in Santa Fe, no problem. I enjoyed the trip. A lot. I will go again to Meowth. I don't know if I would go. Well, I mean, I'd like to go to the one in Grapevine. The one in Las Vegas sounds pretty cool. It's supposedly it's like some kind of convenience store thing or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know. If you go on YouTube, there's a lot of videos about Meowth. They have one of the things I was looking for, because there's ambient music playing everywhere. And I was like, man, I wonder if they got a soundtrack CD for sale, which they don't have a CD for sale. But if you go online, they have all the tracks online. You can, you know, on YouTube, you can listen to. They sold like an MP3, a couple of MP3 albums and stuff, you know. Just super cool. Super fun. If you go, I would say it's a half a day thing.
Yeah.
Easily. If you're gonna really get immersed in it, easily. You know.
You were talking about the gift shop when we were in California at the Academy Awards Museum. I went to the gift shop and it was pretty good size. It had, you know, the usual shirts and keychains and blah, blah, blah. But they had a wall of, like, books.
Oh, yeah.
On movies.
Oh, I bet.
Books,
yeah.
On movies, right? And they had a Kubrick area. And I was like, I got that book, I got that book, I got that book. And then I was like, I've never seen this book.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what this book is? And I ordered it. I didn't buy it there because there was cover.
Yeah.
It's a book on all the, like, mechanical drawings of, like, the sets and stuff and the costumes.
Oh, that's cool.
From 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, that's real cool.
And, you know, the cover on it's, like, $75. And so I found one on Amazon for about half that. But I was flipping through it, and I was like, how do I not know about this book?
Yeah.
So that's the cool thing about going to one of those gift shops is you see something like that, and you're like...
Yeah, because you don't...
I've seen every one of these books before and or have these books. I've never seen that book before. It's never came up on my Amazon anything. And like whenever I was at in New York, we went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art and they had that Geiger book I'd never seen before. And I ordered that bad boy. Let's wrap this episode up here. Thank you for the Meowth and the
Santa Fe.
My trip to Santa Fe was
not quite.
It was like a stopover. We're finishing up a trip out west, and that was our last stop before we came home, and we got there so late we didn't get to do anything.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Back next week for another all new. So check out our blog at betterthanfictionthepodcast.blogspot.com, where I'll post some photos of what we talked about tonight.
And if you enjoy the podcast, please take a second, leave a review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This will help other people find the podcast. Also, thanks once again to Jim Bob at Area 51 Comics and Toys for sponsoring our show.
That's right. Thanks, Jim Bob. And with that, we'll say, hey, come back next week for another all-new episode, and we'll see you. We're out of here.